You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Okay, here we go. It's game week. Hope everybody had a great Labor Day, Labor Day weekend. I think we can officially say it now, right? We always ask. We've talked about this many times, and I think today is the last time we can really talk about this and ask, because it doesn't matter what your answer ever is. It's the last part of this answer, which is to the question, when does summer end? I guess you could say, no, it doesn't end until meteorological summer ends, which is, you know, September 20th, 21st, whatever, right? Yep, exactly. Generally, it's, does summer end when training camp starts? Does summer end when the Erie County Fair starts or ends? Does summer end when kids go back to school? Does summer end after Labor Day? It's all check, 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 check. Except I will say some kids aren't back to school till later this week. Some are back to school today, which, by the way, I've been out today. Had to get to an appointment. You could see some school buses on the road. You could see parents taking kids to school. If you are driving around, please be aware of that. Kids are back at school. And just kind of be a little more thoughtful today when you're driving, okay? A little PSA here from Sal Capaccio. Because that's me. And this is the Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. It is game week for the Buffalo Bills. The Bills and the Ravens about to kick things off Sunday. I don't know, man. I love a really, I'm not going to say like, I hate saying like a soft kind of opening for the team, but opening up against the Ravens at home, yeah, it's juicy. I prefer the Sunday 1 o'clock against a team that you should take care of type of opening. Coaches, football coaches always say, your biggest improvement usually comes from game one to game two. You get out there game one, you're like, ah, what's going on? And then game two, you knew everything you had to fix and all that. You're like, game one, you just don't know what's going to happen. And the Bills actually, over the last few years, they have not been at their best week one, right? I mean, think about it for a second. Week one last year, they did win, but it was a close game. Do you remember what happened in that game? 34-28 against the Arizona Cardinals. Evan DePasquale, he's producing for me today.
Oh, sorry, Evan, I didn't hear.
I'm asking you now. I'm just bringing you in. Hold on. Do you remember what happened in that game last year? Like what the score was and the Bills being down?
I just remember it being getting off to a bad start and just I was so worried, and then all of a sudden Josh Allen jumps over Buda Baker and
and he hurts his hand, unfortunately, baby. Right? Yeah, that's right. I love it. Do you remember what the score was at one point, though? Like, how bad they got down?
Weren't they down, like, 21 or 17 to 3 or so at the
17 to 3. It was 17 to 3. And then Allen had a run for a touchdown, and then Mac Hollins had a touchdown catch, and then Khalil Shakir had a touchdown catch. Like, all right, everything's good. And then after a field goal and a touchdown, the Bills had things in control. And then DJ Dallas had a 96-yard kickoff return in the fourth quarter against the Bills. And you're like, oh, my God. Then the Bills got a field goal. They were up 6 points. And the Cardinals were driving. And there was a very, very controversial non-pass interference call on Jamarcus Ingram. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Now that's starting to, you know, like the gears are starting to turn. I'm now remembering that.
Right. So the reason I bring that up is, and yeah, I'm not here to tell you it was a bad call or a good call. I think that there was hand fighting, but there was certainly controversy. If Ingram is called for pass interference, the Cardinals have a first and goal, like the Bills' 10-yard line with a minute left, down by six. And we might be talking about a totally different result. All right, that was last year. Let's go to 2023. Remember what happened the opening week for the Bills in 2023, Evan?
That was the Jet Monday night game.
Jet Monday night game. Josh Allen, 3 interceptions. Goes to overtime. That's the Aaron Rodgers' last, what, 5 plays, I think it was, right? It was
something like that. I think it was 4. And I was writing the game story for WGR550.com, and I just remember being here till like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning trying to get everything done. And like, yep. I even think about that. Their first drive in overtime was just like
terrible. It was terrible. And do you remember how the Bills tied the game? It was Tyler Bass from 50, and it doinked off the crossbar and in. Right? So Tyler Bass ties it with 2 seconds left in regulation. And I think that I'm looking at the box score, 2 seconds left. I don't think that's when it was snapped. It might have been. Either way, the point is it might have been, right at the horn. And then the punt return, Gibson takes it 65 yards the other way. The last 2 years, the Bills have given up a kick return touchdown and a punt return touchdown on opening weekend. Think about that. The Bills lose that game 22-16. And by the way, they had things in control. They're up 13-3 with no Aaron Rodgers on the other side in the second half, and they wound up losing. 2022, now they played a good game. Not a great first half, but they took care of business in L.A. against the Rams. The Bills were the opening opponent for the Rams, who had just won the Super Bowl. The Bills were up 10-0. Rams tied it at the end of the half. It was 10-10. You go into halftime like, oh, boy. And then the Bills came out and just smoked them in the second half. Bills win that one 31-10. They played a good game that day. Although Josh Allen's numbers, actually, they were really good. 26 of 31, 297, 3 TDs. He did throw 2 picks in that game. I think one might have been tipped. Then, how about 2021? First game back after COVID into a full stadium. Remember that, Evan, or no? Do you remember that one?
I remember that. I remember that was the loss of the Steelers, and everybody was panicking that they lost the Super Bowl. I remember Poyer saying after the game, you guys are making it seem like we lost the Super Bowl.
Because it was like devastating to come back, full stadium, first game at home, Steelers, and the Bills are down. They're up 10-6, and they're kind of down the rest of the game. They couldn't catch up. And that was that fourth down weird play that Brian Daboll tried. Remember that when he kind of, that was the old, like it went back to when Drew Bledsoe to Willis McGahee in Seattle. It was the same kind of fourth down play. He tries to throw the ball on a fourth down laterally, and it doesn't work out. And I don't know. I think that was the play. Either way, the point is like the Bills went for a fourth down. They got stuffed, and everybody criticized the play call. Steelers, this game, how about this? Blocked punt return for a touchdown. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Blocked punt return for a touchdown.
Big reason why they lost, and also TJ Watt playing out of his mind.
That's right. That's right. Now I'm looking. I want to make sure. They didn't have a – what happened? Okay, good. They did not do anything against the Rams, but I'm thinking about this for a second now. Now that I'm looking back at this, to be honest with you, the Bills over the last – since 2021, 21, 22, 23, 24 – in 3 of the last 4 home openers, they've given up a special teams touchdown, a blocked punt return for a touchdown against the Steelers, a punt return for touchdown overtime against the Jets, and a kickoff return touchdown last year against the Cardinals. Wow. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. Let me just go back the year before that. Bills at home against the Jets COVID year. They did not give anything up like that. The Bills just kind of trounced them. That was like the coming out party of, okay, we got Josh Allen here now in town, 2020 season, COVID, and Josh throws for 300 yards, 312 in that game. But yeah, the last several openers have not been the best for the Buffalo Bills. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just telling you that openers, you never know what you're going to get. But I'll also tell you, in that same breath, the Baltimore Ravens have struggled early in seasons too. Last year, they go to Kansas City. They lose 27-20 on that opening night in Kansas City, Thursday night football, right? The Sunday night game, but it's really Thursday night. It's the opening game, like this year's Philly and Dallas. That's last year. And it's Isaiah Likely at the end, just touches the white. And that was kind of the start of the whole, oh my God, Chiefs win by the skin of their teeth every single week, it seemed like, type of thing. And that was that week when it started, and that was against the Ravens. But do you remember what happened to the Ravens last year, week two? Evan, I don't expect you to remember, but you might. They started off with a loss against Kansas City. Remember what happened week two?
Do you have it? I was almost about to say the Bengals, but that was the Chiefs week two.
They lost at home to the Raiders.
Oh, you're right. Their home opener. That was a Gardner Minshew game.
Yes, Gardner Minshew beats them. They started 0-2 last year, the Ravens.
And that was a big reason why the Bills played at home in the playoffs.
100% right. That's exactly right. Let's go to the Ravens the year before. So that was 24. 23, they started off hot, 25-9 over the Texans, 27-24 against the Bengals. 2022, they beat the Jets and lost to the Dolphins. Oh, remember the Dolphins game when Tyreek went wild and Tua went wild week two?
That was kind of the coming out party, it felt like, for Tua and the Dolphins and Mike McDaniel, and everybody thought they were going to be really this juggernaut.
Yep. And they were for a few hot weeks there, and then things changed. Oh, and how about this? 2021, the week that the Bills lost against the Steelers we just talked about, the Ravens, man, the Raiders are like their kryptonite. They went to Vegas and lost 33-27 that year to open the season. So kind of the Raiders have been a bit of a kryptonite early in the season for the Ravens. We'll see what happens this week, though. I mean, anything can happen. I think this game just hinges on the same thing last year's playoff game did. Mistakes. I mean, last year in the regular season, the Ravens just took care of business. I mean, they beat the Bills. They beat them up and down the field. They scored in a huge long run. First play from their offensive, play from scrimmage. Derrick Henry. The Bills were without Matt Milano most of the year in that game, obviously. Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson. And, hey, no one's going to feel sorry for you in this league. They were without those guys. And you got to have guys step up and play. And the Bills just did not play very well that night. Khalil Shakir gets hurt early in that game. He was kind of running on one leg, essentially, the rest of the game. Josh got hurt, actually, in that game very briefly in that trick play the Bills tried. It was just a disaster. But then they come to Buffalo, and the divisional round was a classic. It really was. Because even though the Bills kind of had a bit of control most of the game, the Ravens came back late. And then, of course, they had a chance to tie it, and Mark Andrews drops the ball in the end zone. And we all remember that one. When did you know when you were watching the game? Were you in studio for that game? Where were you for the Ravens divisional round playoff game last year, Evan?
Yeah, I was here during that game. I think, I don't know when I heard it, but I think we all were like watching, and Nance says when the play happened, he said, got it. And then he said, oh no, the ball dropped.
Yeah, I think you're right. I watched it recently a couple times, actually, a few weeks ago. I watched it again yesterday a little bit, 2 days ago. And for me, though, because I don't know if you watch the game broadcast, I think if I remember right, I have to go back and look now again. I think like the camera stand is in the way. You don't see him drop it right away.
Yeah, because it was on the near side of the field, yes. And it was really hard to kind of see it. So it did look like he caught it. And then I think maybe the official making the signal, that's when he realized he dropped the ball. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I've told you this story, Evan. I've shared it, but I'll tell it now. I'll tell it to everybody. So I was probably the closest person on the planet to Mark Andrews when he dropped it. I was standing right there at the pylon. Like, literally happened 4 feet in front of me. I mean, maybe there was a DB right behind him, but other than that, I'm standing right there. When it hits his chest, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm thinking he caught it. And then just in a blink of an eye, he drops it. And you're just like, oh my God. I actually picked up the football, handed it back to the officials, just laying at my feet when Mark Andrews dropped it. I don't know if you know that or not. But when I saw that, oh my God. And then you're like, what do you do? Oh my God, I pick up the ball. Natural reaction, ball sitting at your feet. I picked it up, I handed it to the official, and I'm like, holy cow, the Bills are going to go to the AFC Championship game. They just had to get that last onside kick, and of course they did. Rasul Douglas fell on it. Good kick, by the way. Onside kick, and the Bills fell on it. But, yeah. So I knew when that happened, like, what had happened, but I go back and watch the game broadcast, and you can't really see it happen. And you hear him say it, and then you see the aftermath. That was Bills Ravens last year. Bills Ravens this year. Sunday Night Football. What a great, great opener. Now, this week, I'll be on today. I'm going to be on Thursday as well. You normally won't hear me on Thursdays. I'll be down at One Bills Drive covering practice. This Thursday is a little different, though, because this Thursday, I'm going to be on location out at Northtown Kia. All right? So this Thursday, come on by. You want to say hi to me, Extra Point Show, be a part of it. I will be at Northtown Kia. That's 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Come on by, say hi, grab a Paula's Donut while supplies last. We're going to have some awesome WGR swag. You can register to win an autographed Buffalo Bills item, courtesy of Northtown Kia, no purchase necessary. And of course, Northtown is the official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and that's why it all fits together. And that's going to be Thursday. So this week, tomorrow, I'll be down at One Bills Drive covering practice. We will hear from Sean McDermott before practice. The team will be on the field at about noon. We'll hear from McDermott a little bit before that. Thursday, I'll be at Northtown Kia doing this show. Come on by, say hi. Normally Thursdays, I'll be at practice. You'll get Zach and Derek, but that's our chance to spend together and say hi right before the season. Preview the season. And then Friday, I'll be back here on this show again. So you got a lot of me this week. And then that's when we're going to hear from Sean McDermott here on the weekly radio spot that he does on WGR Sports Radio 550 with me on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Good to be with you here on week number one of the NFL season. I want to get connected with you, the fans, today. 803-0550 is the number to call. And of course, getting connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. I want to get connected with you and your thoughts on the 2025 season. Now, Friday, we'll do a little bit more of the, you can call in with your prediction, right? Record-wise, I do that every year, like the last show before the first game, I take stock of and I write down. I actually had it in a folder last year of all of the different picks, which were, you know, Joe and Tonawanda, Mike and Clarence, whatever. And I said, what's the Bills' record and how will they finish? We'll do that a little bit later in the week. But today, if you'd like to call in, tell me what you're excited about or what you're concerned about for the 2025 Buffalo Bills season. Anything that's on your mind. Today's the day to kind of just absorb it and say, you know what? You're thinking about the season, and this is what you're thinking about. You're excited. You're concerned. Doesn't have to be one of each. It could be just anything. Anything that's on your mind, I'd love to hear from you at 803-0550. Coming up in 10 minutes, going to talk with Jeremy Kahn. Jeremy is at our Odyssey sister station in Baltimore, covers the Baltimore Ravens, and we've talked with him many times before here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. He is the co-host of the Big Bad Morning Show, 6 to 10 a.m. So his show just ended a little while ago. He's going to jump on. We're going to talk a little bit about Bills, Ravens once again, as we do pretty much every year when these two teams get together, and sometimes twice a year, which is what happened in 2020 in the COVID year, the Taron Johnson famous pick six, that game in Buffalo. Bills win. They go to the AFC Championship. And then, of course, again, last year, same thing, divisional round, Ravens come to Buffalo, Bills beat them, Bills go to the AFC Championship. And in both years, the Bills wind up losing to the Kansas City Chiefs. What will be the end result this year? I don't know. We're a long way away from that. It is a marathon, not a sprint. Let's remember that, everybody, all right? It is a marathon, not a sprint. No matter what happens on Sunday night, it might impact how they finish. Of course, it'll impact the record, but where they finish in the standings and who goes and travels to whom at the end of the year. It doesn't have to, though. Proof was last year. Bills lose to the Ravens, but still host them. Bills beat the Chiefs, but still have to go there, right? So we'll take a collective breath Monday either way. 803-0550, of course, the final home opener at the current Highmark Stadium. Let's, you know what? I want to go in Tom in North Tonawanda. I'm going to pull him back up here, but if you can do that for me real quick while I reset my screen, thank you very much. Evan, let's go to Tom in North Tonawanda. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Sal. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. I know we're all excited for the season to start, and you know, people can say I'm biased here because I am as a Florida State guy, but I really, really want to see what Coleman can do this year. I was at camp some, and he, you know, when I was there, he was just skying above people and making contested catches, and he looked different than last year, bigger, stronger, more confident, and it really looked like to me that Allen has kind of found a connection with him. You know, of course, I know it's just camp, and there's a lot to do in real games, but I think that connection could be a lot of fun this year and using his abilities to get away from defenders, even if he doesn't have separation and still catch the ball and make the plays, especially in the red zone.
I'm excited because of a lot of what I've heard from inside the building, not just what I've seen. Listening to Sean McDermott, especially listening to Joe Brady, Josh Allen, and Deion Dawkins, who's just been raving about Keon Coleman. And you've heard it. I don't know if you've done this yet. I saw this last night. I watched the whole thing. I'm going to give you a homework assignment, Tom. Okay, you ready? And everybody else out there.
All right.
I want you to go watch Deion Dawkins on with Nick Wright and everybody over at their show. It was like a week ago, but you can find it on YouTube. Go watch Deion Dawkins on with Nick Wright and Chris Broussard, whatever that show is that they do now. And my apologies for not knowing the name offhand. But go check it out. And it's a great interview. And then at the end, hear him and listen to him talk about Keon Coleman. Okay?
Will do. Yeah, I'm always willing to listen to Deion Dawkins and everything. my guy Keon Coleman. It's a double.
Yeah, and because he's on with Nick Wright, and he knows Nick Wright is a Chiefs guy. Deion does. He has some fun with him, so it's a cool interview. Just go listen to him, watch it, okay?
All right, will do, Sal. I'll catch that.
All right, you got it. That's for everybody out there. Go check it out after this show, by the way, not while I'm on. Let's go to Steve in Florida. Hi, Steven.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Hey,
good morning.
Okay, so first off, I've been a Bills fan since the 60s, and my expectations are higher this year than ever before. The first game of the season, I cannot see Buffalo losing their first game of the last season at Highmark Stadium. They're going to go out with a bang. I believe it's going to be a close game, but I mean, I believe ultimately the Bills will prevail, even with the Ravens coming in with an axe to grind because of the divisional playoff loss they had last year.
Mm-hmm.
Also want to say that with the receiving core we've got now, I've got really high expectations for Josh to reestablish his long passing game. We didn't see a lot of that last year. I think Palmer is going to be great. And of course, Keon Coleman and Shakir, I think they're going to do stupendous as well. So I think we've got a lot of potential there this year to do great. And then, of course, I'm really relieved, as all the fans are, to see that they secured Cook. So I think our running game is going to be really outstanding. Of course, we got Josh's mobility. My biggest concerns are on the defense. Now with the injury putting Carter out for the season, you know, we've got Oliver and Jones, but we've got a couple rookies behind them. So, you know, there is some concerns there. And, of course, with the safety situation, I think that's the main thing we're all going to have to watch. But I think the Bills have the potential this year to go all the way and finally get it done and overcome what we didn't do in the 90 to 93 years, and that's win the Super Bowl. So that's what I'm seeing for this year.
I love it, Steven. That's exactly what I'm looking for. I appreciate your comments on that, and they certainly do have the potential to do that. I mean, whenever people ask me about, you know, the Bills and their season and what do I think, I always say the same thing. My standard answer is they have Josh Allen, and anytime you have Josh Allen, you have a chance to win the Super Bowl, period. And as long as 17 is healthy and under center, in shotgun, throwing footballs for the Buffalo Bills, I mean, that is not to take away from the rest of the team. They have a talented team, a very talented team, deep roster. It's good. Yes, are there questions? Of course. You can't have all pros at every position five deep, folks. I know, people want that. Well, what do you mean deep roster? Look at the third string running back. linebacker, whatever. Like, they have a good roster. They have a deep roster. They've arguably the best offensive line in football. I'd put it top three or four, right? Without parsing, I don't know, but it's very, very good. Some questions, but you're right about that. Anyway, the point I'm making is, yes, you're right about that. And I love the fact that you brought up the long ball, maybe getting back in the arsenal. I think that that should be and can be something the Bills need to go back to and do better than they have the last couple of years, not just last year. And the other under-the-radar thing that I'm really interested in this year is something I brought up earlier when the program started. I'm interested in this special teams group being better and need it to be better because the Bills got beat on special teams plays last year. And the Bills need to go into each game knowing they can win that phase of the game, especially with these kickoffs and the new rules, right? Like, again, I mean, last year, they had times last year where they just were not buttoned up enough on special teams. They had that kickoff return early against the Cardinals that hurt them in game one and almost really cost them at the end. It didn't. Remember the blocked punt against the Rams? I mean, that would have turned out to be huge, right? They had, what, 10 guys in the field that final play against the Rams on the punt that they were going to field and probably wouldn't have mattered, but those are little things that have to be buttoned up this year, and it just hasn't been up to par. I think special teams has been an under-the-radar type of deal here for the Bills this year with Chris Tabor coming in. They should be better. I'm expecting them to be better. I want to see them better. But if you want to talk about little things where they can improve, that's a big thing, but a little thing because we don't talk about it enough. Long ball as well. Going deep. Throwing down the field. I think that's got to be better. It can be better. It should be better. Good start to the program. All right. Jeremy Kahn is going to join me next. Jeremy is out in Baltimore at our sister station, host of the Big Bad Morning Show. We'll talk Ravens, Bills, Sunday night, Orchard Park, week one. It is here, folks. Back after this timeout with Jeremy Kahn on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit SmileGeneration.com/confidence today. and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It was going to be a great motivation. It was the last game that we played as a unit. So to go back there and to play the same team that we lost to, that we believe that we should have won, we made self-inflicting mistakes. So everybody's fired, everybody's pumped up, everybody's ready to go. But it's just one day at a time at this point, so.
Justin Medibike, defensive tackle for the Ravens right there. Bills, Ravens, Sunday night football. What a great way for the NFL to start it. I mean, yeah, I love it for the juice, but man, it is very, very, very stressful, right? To have the Ravens come to town week one, opening up Sunday night football in Buffalo, final home opener ever at Highmark Stadium. See if my guy Jeremy Kahn agrees with that. Jeremy Kahn joins me on the Western Hotline. Of course, you can find him on the Big Bad Morning Show in Baltimore, our Odyssey sister station. Are you with me? I mean, I know I love the juice, but man, I just think these two teams, give me this a little bit later in the year. This is too nerve-wracking for me, buddy.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. Like, I was talking about it on my show today that, you know, if you look at this week, there's like seven games of teams that are either less than a field goal favorite or field goal underdogs, a lot of closely matched games. And then you have the, which it includes these two games, but Green Bay and Detroit, which all of a sudden got more interesting with Micah Parsons. But the Ravens and the Bills, to me, is the one you circle this week and the one that you want to watch. It seems like the league's trying to create a pretty big rivalry between these two teams if it hasn't already happened yet. But, like, this is the marquee game. This is the one you want to see.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 8:20. We all remember what happened both meetings last year. The Ravens just took it to the Bills in Baltimore last year, just really right out of the get-go. You know, the big run by Derrick Henry, the Bills just really could never recover from that, and it went sideways. And then I thought the Ravens, you know, overall, you know, played very well against the Bills here in Buffalo, but a few mistakes obviously cost them. And of course, it came down to turnovers. I feel like this game could very well be the same and similar because they are so good. They are so evenly matched in so many ways. I feel like this one just could really come down to who makes a couple mistakes and who doesn't. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it's been, you know, outside. And you'd have to correct me going back to it, but I remember when the Bills played the Ravens, were you guys coming off of a big win or a road schedule, back-to-back road games or something last year? Because there was something going on,
yeah.
And I know we talked about, like, Derrick Henry's bigger than most of the Bills linebackers or all of them. And Patrick Ricard is the same size or bigger than most of the D-line. So the thought process was, even in the playoff game, they're just going to come in and run the football down their throat. At least in Baltimore, that was the thought process. And what a weird game. No punts, and the turnovers are what decided it. And people hated Mark Andrews here, and maybe he's on a little bit of a revenge tour because no Isaiah Likely, more than likely. So maybe Mark Andrews gets peppered quite a bit in this one.
Yeah, I want to talk about the injury situation in just a second, but let's go back to Andrews. Very, very tough night. I was just telling my producer, Evan, and the rest of our audience, I was probably the closest person on the planet to Mark Andrews when he dropped the two-point conversion. I literally, Jeremy, I picked up the ball and handed it to the official. Like, I was standing there at the pylon. Wow. And, I mean, when that happened, it was like that, oh, my God, I can't believe he dropped it. And, you know, I mean, there's a human element to all of this. And we saw it 2 years ago with Tyler Bass here in Buffalo missing a field goal against the Chiefs late in the game. The reception, the reaction to Mark Andrews and where that has gone since that day, where is it now?
Yeah, I think it's died down a little bit. But if you want to take the knee-jerk reaction, I mean, people were losing their mind. He got hate mail, all the stuff that you hate seeing. It's like the new gamblers out there that want to send a message on Twitter to whatever wide receiver didn't hit their prop. You know what I mean? Like, it's very childish. It's silly that even some of this stuff happens. But you're like, some people are just living in the moment of how close you were to it. Because, like, if you're looking at the situation, you're saying, at least here in Baltimore, we felt like we've had the best team in football the past 2 years, and it hasn't amounted going to the Super Bowl. And this team even looks better on paper. But, you know, when you get back to that point, it's like, I don't know that he'll ever have an easier catch than he's had in his life. And that was the play that was supposed to kind of get away from, oh, yeah, he followed the ball in the middle of the field on what was a big play. So it was not his best night. There were people who were upset that he didn't talk to the media. I think I would have liked to have heard him talk to the media, but what else is he going to say other than I'm sorry and I screwed up?
All right, so now we advance on a little bit here, and of course Isaiah likely breaks his foot early in with training camp, basically. It's supposed to be about maybe a six-week injury. It's right at that cutoff line here. You just mentioned it a little while ago. He has not practiced. He hasn't been playing, but I know there's been some speculation that he could start to ramp up a little bit here. Where are the Ravens right now with Isaiah likely and his possibility for Sunday night?
So the weird thing is that the Ravens roster this year was loaded. They actually ended up releasing a bunch of players that they didn't want to, but they just had so much talent in camp. I mean, they had three undrafted players make their roster. And the only reason I bring all this up is they could have easily put Isaiah Likely on, the PUP list or IR or whatever, get him back after week four. But apparently the Ravens think he's going to be back before then and they don't want to risk it. I don't think it's this game. I think maybe next week, or even if they wait after the Browns for the big game against the Lions, maybe that's when he comes back. But I find it hard to believe that he would be back any time later than that if they were just, going to put him on the PUP list. They could have kept maybe one of those guys that they really thought was good. Like, they cut Justin Armour Davis, and he was supposed to be an integral part of this secondary, but that's because a couple of young guys showed out. So I don't know that we'll see Likely until maybe week two, more than likely week three. With the injury he had, it just sucked because that day they were talking about an extension for him, It didn't happen. Both sides aren't close.
Okay, Jaire Alexander has not practiced in quite a while. I mean, that was a big deal when the Ravens signed him. And I know people here in Buffalo really wanted the Bills to go out and do that because the Bills were, kind of going through it at corner and what their situation was. And then we find out he has his knee drained. He's dealing with some injuries already. He hasn't practiced. What's his status?
Yeah, so Harbaugh, in talking about not only him but Patrick Ricard, both of those guys, he's playing it close to the vest, and I don't think anybody should expect anything less. He's not going to tell you anything. He's going to do what the minimum that the league says he has to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Alexander's going to be ready, but when you look at this Ravens secondary with him, they have five number one picks in the secondary, five first-round picks, I should say. Yeah. It's just there's a ton of talent here. I don't know that Jaire is going to go, but I feel like this is going to be something that we're going to be doing week after week with him with some of the injuries ahead, because, like, I think he got his knee drained earlier in camp too. But with Patrick Ricard, that's that gigantic human being that's pancaking linebackers and defensive backs out there and even defensive linemen. And I think typically your safeties and linebackers are looking which way he's going, because normally Derrick Henry or Lamar is going to follow him. So if they don't have him, how does that affect the running game too? So those are two guys that are key that may not play. And not understanding whether or not they have enough options behind them. They could call somebody up from the practice squad to replace Ricard, but, they've got a deep secondary, but I don't know that you replace Jaire Alexander. One of my favorite things about him in camp is it was like being at Pop Warner all over again when they were doing wide receiver and cornerback drills. He couldn't wait to get back in line to go up against every wide receiver on the Ravens team. Oh, and he talks quite a bit. He talks a lot.
Yes, he does. I remember when the Packers came to Buffalo for a Monday night or Sunday night game a couple of years ago, and he was just going after Stephon Diggs down the tunnel the whole way out. Right? It was just crazy. You're like, wait a minute, this guy, he would not stop chirping. So I hear you on that. Ricard is interesting because I didn't even know he was dealing with an injury until recently. I saw that and I'm like, wait a minute, he hasn't practiced. But then I read it's soft tissue, but no one has really specifically said what it is, which happens here in Buffalo too. Tre'Davious White's dealing with a leg injury. No one specifically said what it is. Do we know any update on him and what the injury is and what his status could be for this week?
I don't. My assumption, they do this soft tissue issue is what they say. Oh, we have a soft tissue. So it could be a hamstring, could be a quad, could be something. That's more than likely what I think about with a running back or like a fullback like him, whatever you want to call him, because, God, he played defensive line and fullback for the Ravens and even some tight end at one point. So the guy's just been an absolute workhorse for him. But this soft tissue thing that they keep talking about, they label that, and I guess they get away with it because the Ravens do this thing too, where they don't even want to tell you whether it's a quad or a hamstring. They put thigh on the injury report. So, I mean, I guess it's some gamesmanship. We think it's really silly, but they've always done it. So I can't tell you the extent of Patrick Ricard's injury. But, I mean, obviously they're hopeful he plays. But Harbaugh had a weird quote today where he kind of talked in circles. If guys didn't practice, and they're more than likely not going to play, but if these guys are ready, then we're going to give them a go. And it's like, what are you telling us? Which is
right.
Nothing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And by the way, that's the old hockey thing, right? Obviously, we're a big hockey place here in Buffalo. And in hockey, they don't have to do that. The NFL, you have to specifically state kind of what the injury is. In hockey, it's lower body or upper body. That's it. That's all you got to give in hockey, which is kind of interesting. It is interesting. See, Ricard, I think Ricard, whether he plays or not, could really alter how the Bills play, because as you've seen, Jeremy, the Bills sometimes will actually play base defense against the Ravens. They don't do that against anybody else. The Bills, they never take Taron Johnson off the field as a nickel corner. And I'm really interested. So if Ricard doesn't play, are they going to probably spread it out a little bit more and maybe go a little bit less of the heavy package? Now, you still have Derrick Henry there, obviously, but is he really the key when they want to go and run that heavy package, especially if Likely's able to play?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do there, to be honest. We had one of the guys on our show today that joins us every week, and he said they have a guy on the practice squad that could play the role of Patrick Ricard, but like, it's easier said than done to do what he does. So maybe they could bring him up from the practice squad if that's something that happens and still run basically. But like, if you can slow down this running game and play smaller and play faster, which is a lot to ask, that's the way I think you have to stop the Ravens. And it's weird to say dare them to run because you don't want Derrick Henry coming right at you. But the fact of the matter is, like, when you go back to what the Chargers did to them their first time in the playoffs, and granted, it's a totally different audience or offense, but when you look at the way that things set up, they went small and they were just as fast and they frustrated the hell out of Lamar. I don't know that many teams can do that, go with some sort of nickel or dime defense and just play as fast as you can. It's a lot to ask now with Derrick Henry in the backfield because that guy's just a battery ram.
No doubt. When the Ravens came to Buffalo for the playoffs, I don't believe Zay Flowers played in that game, right, if I remember correctly. I don't think he played. He had gotten hurt the week before. What's he meant to the offense? What will he mean for Lamar Jackson, especially if Isaiah Likely can't go?
Yeah, I think, look, I think Mark Andrews is, when you talk about pass catchers, Lamar's favorite target, but I think it's slowly kind of transitioned into Zay Flowers. When you look at what Zay can do on the field, they run a lot of gadget plays with him. They'll do some sweeps, some misdirection. They'll get him out in open space. And kind of like what you guys see with Shakir there, like getting him in space, good things tend to happen. So I do think they missed him quite a bit last year or last playoff game. But the fact of the matter is, like, you have a guy that you trust not only with the deep balls but also with the underneath stuff. The only concern with a guy like him is he's so undersized that you worry about some of the hits he's going to take. And my assumption was that they might use some of those gadget plays with Keaton Mitchell, the other running back they kept, because he's like that whole thunder and lightning thing with the likes of Derrick Henry and him. And it's a guy that they really want to get a few touches a game, maybe 6 to 8, to see what he can do.
Are they confident right now in the offensive line, some of the tinkering that went on in the offseason there? Is that still something that people are concerned about? Where are fans, where is the team with the offensive line right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think before they re-signed Ronnie Stanley, everybody was like, okay, well, what are we doing here? You got Rosengarten on the other side, a kid that they drafted. He looked pretty good. And Tyler Linderbaum at center. So they feel comfortable in those situations, and now you're plugging and playing with some of these guards. They were hopeful. They're hopeful that Falele was going to win this job, that project out of Australia that's just a monster of a man. And then a first preseason game, he gets bowled over by backups, and everybody was killing him. He's better than he looked in that first preseason game, but he still needs work. And I think when you look at that offensive line, you would be worried about the guard spots a little bit more than anything else, because I think they're set at tackle.
And then up front, front seven, you talked a little bit about the secondary. What's the feeling on the front seven, especially the pass rush?
Yeah, man, they've got some special guys there. There's look, you heard from Matt Abike, who's just an absolute animal, and if the pass rush is working great, it goes hand in hand, and he's one of those guys that can penetrate in the middle and then cause problems and make the quarterbacks move off of their spot and out of the pocket. Travis Jones is another guy that everybody's been talking about and how good he looks along that defensive line. And then you got the who's who of pass rushers. They're not necessarily household names. People know Kyle Van Noy, who he had more sacks than Micah Parsons last year, and I think it's part of this scheme defensively. And I hate calling a guy an overachiever, but he's one of those lunch pail guys. He just works hard and he doesn't stop. And then you look at Adafi Owe, who they got to make a decision on whether or not they want to keep him as a pass rusher. But the guy to look out for this year is their second round pick, Mike Green. He's looked everything like a premier pass rusher in the preseason. They've been kind of holding him back a little bit. He was the kid they drafted in the second round that had some issues off the field, some sexual assault, domestic violence stuff that went on that never came to fruition. But it was two separate incidents. So the Ravens got beat up pretty good for saying they had a zero tolerance policy for that stuff and drafting the guy. But when you watch him out on the field, I mean, he looks amazing. And I think he's a guy we'll be talking about for quite a long time.
And one of the reasons why they said that is because of everything that happened with Justin Tucker. Then they draft Tyler Loop, a new kicker. So we're going to see a new kicker than what we've seen for the Ravens, who've had one of the best of all time, and Justin Tucker. What does that look like with Tyler Loop kicking?
So early on in camp, it was interesting. They had him only kicking some short yardage stuff, like extra point type stuff all the way up to the 40-yard line. And then he had a day where he missed a bunch, and everybody was losing their minds. And then all of a sudden, I don't think he missed since then. I mean, he's just been kicking the hell out of the ball, including a 60-yarder. I think he's going to be fine. I mean, the Justin Tucker stuff for me was so interesting because I know some of the people that were involved with it and waiting for this story to come out because it, you know, wasn't my place to run with it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was some truth and validity behind that, in my opinion. I trust the people I talked to, and there were so many different areas of what was going on. I don't think the Ravens had any choice, especially with the season he had. It made it easier, but to say goodbye to what I believe is the best kicker of all time.
I know, and listen, I promise you I'm not asking this as a Yankee fan, but I do have to ask, what the hell happened to the Orioles this year? I mean, a team that I thought was young and talented, and it just did not materialize in any way, shape, or form. Is it just on the field, off the field? What's the issue?
I mean, for me, look, I'm a little bit different than most people. They just want to complain about ownership and the front office. There is the transition of ownership, which we have a new owner in David Rubenstein, which he just made the statement he's willing to spend money. They're going to do some different things. They made the right decision this year about selling off with the way that things were going. But I think injuries. I mean, Gunnar Henderson, to me, is one of the best players in baseball. I still think he's dealing with a core issue. That's why you're not seeing the power numbers, but he's still hitting for average because he started the season with it and he rushed back. Their three best players played in six games together all the way up until August. So it was a kind of a comedy of errors with Tyler O'Neill just getting hurt and not being able to hit. And then you look at the starting pitching, and now Trevor Rogers is back, and he looks like the best pitcher in baseball after everybody killing him for trading Kyle Sowers, which made no sense because Kyle Sowers is another one of those guys. They were blocked. There were so many guys blocked here because of the talent. But I'll tell you this much, Sam Basayo, your Yankees, they signed Garrett Cole, and they missed out on Basayo, and the Orioles took him. That kid is going to be an absolute stud. I think he wins Rookie of the Year next year if he's eligible for it. I don't know if he is still with the contract signing.
I will be looking out for the name. Hey, Sunday's the game, but Saturday, man, how cool is it going to be in Baltimore? Cal Ripken's 30th anniversary of the record-breaking 21-31 game. That's going to be pretty cool for you guys there.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, so I work a ton with Cal's son, Ryan, who does, he has his own podcast. And leading up to this, the 21-31, it's a record that will never be broken. It's one of those weird things where going through it here in town, everybody was like, should he sit down today? Should he sit down? Broke the record, added on to it. Not only that, but we also have the 25th anniversary of the Ravens defense, which a lot of people here thinks is the best defense in the history of the league. They gave up less points than anybody in more games, which is just incredible. But those two things going on, the Cal stuff, growing up here in Aberdeen, Maryland, you know, being a hometown guy and staying here his whole career, I just don't know how often you're going to see that anymore in this day and age. So it'll be fun to honor him.
Jeremy, I always love when you come on. You bring so much insight to the program. I know you got a lot of things going on there and everything with Mo and all that you've done. Awesome, man. I love the fact that you're so involved in your community and just speaks to my heart as well. So whatever you got to plug, you can do that right here if you'd like to do that, if you want to help.
Social media. You can follow me at JCon Sports. I do on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. I do a ton of gambling stuff. That's kind of, I have my own gambling website, and this is what I've done for over 25 years. So it's kind of fun now to mix it in when it's actually legal. So
I hear you. Hey, thank you for doing this again today. Who knows? Maybe we'll talk again in January, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, I miss talking to you guys later in the year, so we just have to do it early. I think I'm jumping on with some other shows later on this week as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jeremy. Be good, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Anytime, man. I'll talk to you.
All right, you got it. That's Jeremy Kahn in Baltimore, the Big Bad Morning Show, our Odyssey sister station. Does a great job. Love it. I bring that up, by the way. If you ever see the story of Mo, Mo was a young fan of the Ravens and had a terrible disease and passed on. And Jeremy was really a driving force at raising money and being a big part of that. And I just really love stuff like that, right? We're in this job to analyze teams and talk and give our opinions on the radio. But you know, giving back like that in the way that he has in Baltimore, really love that. And that's why I love having him on top of talking about the Baltimore Ravens and the Baltimore Orioles. Hey, September 6th, that's right, Saturday, they're doing the Cal Ripken thing. 30th anniversary of Ripken's record-breaking 2,131st consecutive game this Saturday. That's wild. Can't believe I'm that old. Take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll get to the top of the hour. Coming up at 11:30, Eric Wood's going to join me. That's right. Buffalo Bills radio color analyst and, of course, former Buffalo Bills center. That's at 11:30. Lots of your phone calls. And, oh, do we need to talk about Bill Belichick and last night as well.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
All right, we went a little bit long with Jeremy Kahn. We got Eric Wood coming up at 11:30. Steve, please be patient. I just need to get to another break because I want to make sure I get everything in here, and then we'll have plenty of time for you to talk, and I don't want to cut you short. So make sure you stay on. I'll get to you, Steve, and anybody else who wants a call because you're up next, and we have open phone lines after that. 803-0550 is the number here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.